let me just introduce. So just a reminder to everyone that these meetings are being recorded, and let me check to make sure that's the case. Yes, we're being recorded. And the recording will be on the website along with the meeting notes. Right now we're reviewing Edgemont to Bethesda that came in before to the panel at sketch plan, and now they're at the site plan stage. So we'll have about a 10 to 15 minute presentation from the applicant team, and particularly focus on what changes you made to respond to the comments from the panel. And then we'll have discussion with the panel, and then an opportunity for public comment if there's any desire to make public comment. And then we'll do the vote from the panel and the recommendation on exceptional design points. So we can begin.
Great, thank you very much. So just quick introductions. I'm Ben Stoll with Equity Residential, representing the developer. We'll run down the table very quickly here.
Aubrey Finton with Equity Residential.
Pat Harris with Lurk Turley.
Marius Radulescu with SKNI.
Sami Kirktil with SKNI.
And I'm Chris Huffer with SKNI.
So we were in November for our sketch plan app and came away with a number of comments. The framework of the presentation is to walk you through just a reminder on some of the existing conditions, what's there today. This project's a little unique in that there's some synergies that we're leveraging with the existing asset that we own next door, so we want to walk you through that. And then specifically go through the four major takeaways that we had from our sketch plan app. There are a few tweaks in this presentation that you'll see live versus what was part of the DAP submission. We've continued to try to refine and respond to some of the commentary that came out of our previous DAP. So if you see some differences, that's the reason, but we're happy to explain anything that shows up today that's different than what you saw in our submission.
So we included this slide here just to make sure everybody is oriented on the site's location. Located there in the piece that's highlighted in red, and you can see that it's just a couple steps away from the metro, so it's an urban location right in downtown Bethesda. And we did want to remind everybody about the existing conditions at the site. So this is a view if you were walking south, walking down toward Edgemore. This is kind of a snapshot of what that pedestrian experience currently looks like. And this is a similar view. This one's looking north, again, just to demonstrate what the current conditions look like for that pedestrian experience. This one is if you've come down to the corner of Edgemore and Woodmont. This is some of the traffic infrastructure that's in place. Sort of disrupts the, again, the pedestrian experience at the location currently.
And this is one that we just want you to think of because we did change the location of the entrance of the building from the corner to being slightly west, more mid-block on Edgemore. And part of the reason that we'll talk about was grading issues, but in addition to all of the traffic signalization infrastructure, that despite the fact that we are going to relocate a lot of this to make it cleaner, it still made that corner entrance very challenging.
This is another snapshot, so if you would kind of step back across the street, on the right-hand side, you can almost see the single-family home that's existing on the phase that we're proposing our development on. And then the left-hand side, that's the phase one.
And the second piece to this is all of the aerial utility lines. There was a comment that the hope was that all of these would be underground, and they will, in fact, all be undergrounded along Edgemore that you're looking at, and anything that existed on Woodmont. So we think that there'll be a drastic improvement just in terms of the visualization of what these two sites look like. And we're doing it both in front of the single-family home that was highlighted in red on the aerial map, but we're taking that undergrounding all the way west towards Arlington until it intersects with the Zahn project that in theory would also be undergrounding. So that whole block will sort of be re-urbanized and all of the utilities would be taken underground.
This snapshot here shows the existing conditions at the phase one of the property. You can see this kind of dated turnaround surface parked area. There's the pool, a lot of concrete, and not the most appealing. This is another shot where you can really see the phase one and another visual of the parking spaces that are currently there.
So aerial view overlapped with some of our green cover exhibit, but just as a reminder for folks, you've got the new building, the existing building, some of Aubrey indicated, the Woodmont experience is not wonderful today. We wanted to make sure that that was improved and improved the right way. So rather than put loading and curb cuts for garage entrances on what is a very small site, putting that either on Edgemoor or Woodmont, we've gone through quite a few hoops for single record lot, for code modification, for an REA so that we can leverage the existing infrastructure at the existing building. And so we're going to utilize the existing curb cut for the garage entrance, as well as the existing loading dock, but we'll be widening that slightly. And then we're going to be connecting the garages below the grade so that that Woodmont facade stays very clean. And we'll show you an exhibit of what that potentially could have looked like if we didn't take this approach. But we think this was a unique intent here, and we think that we're going to pull it off successfully when the project goes forward, and it will drastically improve what the pedestrian experience is. The other piece here that's been introduced since you last saw the presentation in November is that the public open space that we're creating in front of the existing building would replace that dated turnaround and surface parking. That building was built in 1989. I think it probably made sense in 1989. We're trying to re-urbanize the entire block in combination with Chris over at Tom, and we think that that makes dramatic steps in the right direction. So there's a little more detail later in the presentation, but we plan on programming our bike share station, some bike repair, some places to sit, and then there'll be hardscape and landscape made as part of all that.
Is that a public bike share?
Yes. So these were our four major takeaways from last November with you all. One was to simplify the design and enhance the corner treatments, both southeast and northeast of the building. So we'll exemplify how we think we've done that. Provide more indoor-outdoor relationship from the ground floor uses to the sidewalk. One of the challenges we had when we came in November was because we're connecting the garages below the grade, we only have so much sloping of the ramp, and that was keeping the eastern side of the new garage above grade on Woodmont. So you had this sort of very intrusive 3-foot wall that then stepped up higher as you went north. So we've gotten a little creative with the sloping of that garage as well as the headroom height. And so we've pushed the garage much lower. And so we think we've drastically improved what that will feel like as you walk down Woodmont Avenue. Developing the design of the surrounding public realm and landscape, we think we've made huge strides in that front given the public park that we're now introducing, which we'll show you some details on. And then the fourth was to continue to explore off-site arch installations. The county and HOC-owned garage on the other side of Woodmont has consistently been an example of what not to do for streetscape and that pedestrian experience. And so we'll talk a little bit about what we're doing to address that in partnership with the club.
I'm Marius with Deskinai. So on this exhibit, we are showing what has been submitted last November, and this is what we have today. And so we are trying to address all those four points, but I will mention the first one, which was to simplify the facade. So what we try to do is keeping the signature element of the facade, which is what you see on Woodmont, and incorporate that in a more consistent fashion, strengthening actually the building. So when we look at the building that time, we thought that that's a good idea, but then actually your comment made us think again, how can we actually take that element that is unique to this particular project and will be unique in the neighborhood and actually emphasize it even more. So we are wrapping now the corner, but because we keep a gap between these two elements and there's a tension right there at the corner, I think that we are achieving, on one hand, consistency, on the other hand, creating a signature corner. So with on this exhibit, we are showing how we treated the corner to address some of the guideline issues. So what we did, and you would see the difference between the first scheme and this one, is that we still wanted to preserve this verticality. So what we did is connect now this element to the ground while on the other hand strengthening the base. So again, the gap and the zigzagging, if you will, or this stacking of different volumes is going to give us the effect that is desired for this corner.
And one thing I'll mention on this is that we thought long and hard about moving the entrance from the corner mid-block slightly. We're only moving it, you know, a handful of feet west, but we are angling the south wall so that as you turn the corner on edge more, the entrance doesn't feel buried in the building, that it feels connected, and we're landscaping that treatment so that you don't lose connection with how you get into the building itself.
You are burying it in the building, though. It angles back into the building.
Yeah, so,
so
we originally had it. We originally had it a little forward. We weren't permitted to do stairs in the right of way, so we had to push it back a little further than we would have desired. But we're trying to keep a connection, and you can see from this perspective that at least at this angle, it's connected. You can see it. As you went further north on Edgemoor, you're certainly going to lose the visibility. But we'll talk a little bit more about some of the transparency we're creating at the ground floor. So that people still feel this connection to what's happening inside the building.
So the approach from the north has the same strength, and right now, because of how the traffic flows, this is quite an important corner. So we wanted to maintain the same energy level that we have on the southeast side.
And one of the things that we have done here is we've held the termination point of the north side of the building back to line up with the termination of the existing. So we're trying to be respectful to the light and air that the Christopher condominiums currently have, because there's just a single family home here. So we've held it off the property line, and we've had a number of conversations and dialogue through our civic meeting with them, and we've continued to massage this. But that building is still held back. That has not changed from what you saw last November.
So it's, you're saying it's held back to the south?
Correct, away from the Christopher.
In line with the existing building, I guess.
Yep. So this was what we had chatted about before, where we're trying to avoid what's existing across the street, where you have this definitive break in the pedestrian experience and walking through the sidewalk, especially given that there's potentially a bike lane that could be implemented on Woodmont. This is the hatch red areas, just representative of what we could have seen for garage entrance and loading dock if we didn't go through the additional efforts of tying in the existing infrastructure so that we could avoid these curb cuts. And we think that this is unique. We think that this was an important decision that we made early in the project. There have been some additional hurdles that we've gone through, but we think that we've worked through all of those, and we think that this will dramatically clean up the Woodmont facade versus anything else that you would have seen if this was a standalone development that wasn't leveraging the synergies of the building next door.
Sorry to interrupt your presentation.
Sure.
Just a quick question. The figures you have there are on the more on the right-hand side, and the sill right at the right at the neck level, is that the ground floor?
This here?
Yes. Is that the ground floor right there?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. God, you can't touch this. This is the ground floor. So I think that, correct me if I'm wrong,
I mean, is that
there's
just
transparency basically from knee height up?
It is where the sill is there. It's at that is the highest corner, and it's about for the first bay. There's about a 5 foot difference, but
and I think we have some other perspectives that might be able to show what that treatment is as you advance north.
It mitigates itself all the way down to the corner, so that the sill is low. It's just that first corner.
The site steps down.
Yeah.
Right. Or does the floor step down?
I think we are doing both. Basically, part of the issue is the connecting the garage, existing garage. We are sloping.
I understand.
And then coming down, and then we're sloping
to
lower
the south,
to the tip, so in order to lower the building.
That is the highest point, though,
okay,
on the facade side. If you're correct.
Try control L. Just try.
So.
Wow.
So on this slide, we are showing how we do the guidelines, ideas, and implement them, or work with them to address the site and to create a unique project. So on the left-hand side, you see some of the elements that we left and highlighted. On the left-hand side are the elements related to the exhibit on the right-hand side. So we have a planting zone, a pedestrian zone. There's a building line at 15 foot. There's a base height that is approximately 25 foot. And there is a setback. But we took the guideline and said, what is the guideline trying to achieve? It's trying to prevent what happened across the street. So in you have the base and the middle in order to create a line, a visual break. So what we did, we have a multitude of breaks. Every other floor, there is a break. So it's almost like stacking, if you want, smaller architectural elements to create this vertical break and avoiding, again, the effect that you see, the canyon effect that you see on the other side of the street. And we have the same approach on the south side, but I want to go back to the face and address this dislocation of the entrance. So when we move the entrance, the idea is what we want to achieve is to have an active corner. And if you have a corner vestibule, it will be unoccupied all the time except if somebody goes in and out. So it's better to have, in a way, the best of both worlds, to have an active corner and to bring the entrance such that is visually connected to the corner, but away from it to have enough program space there so the corner becomes active. And you'll see a slide later on in which we show how that transparency works. So with these slides, what is light yellow shows programming, so amenity spaces where you're going to see people and it's going to be finished. So it's going to be an attractive and active way to connect the building with the sidewalk and the public realm. But the entrance is still visible, still draws you in with this angle, gently sloped wall. Another view of the same corner, emphasizing again this connection between the outdoor, indoor, the public realm and the amenities in the building. This is also addresses the basis and improvement from what we show in November. One is that we are carrying this base around the corner, so there is a consistent base all the way around. And also, we work with the materials to have a little more texture, to be more approachable, and those finishes are touching the ground. There is no hard line, there is no pediment, there is no base. Actually, this 25-foot base is actually going all the way to the sidewalk.
You don't want that material this
yet? That would be a masonry product. It could be a ground face block. It could be cast stone. It could be a cement panel.
It takes not terracotta panel.
We want to achieve this texture and culture.
And what you don't have the benefit of is that the interior programming on all of that ground floor space is meant to activate.
It could be terracotta precast. We don't want to do terracotta imposing on
Trying to do terracotta like that, you can touch it and knock it down.
But you can do
how we're
terracotta
programming
precast.
That space would push for enlivened activity at all hours of the day. What we've done with some of our leasing spaces, as an example, is it functions as workspace during the day, and then we open it up in the evening where it becomes sort of overflow, amenity, work from home, glass of wine type space. So that when you're walking by here at night, the lights will be on for the entire ground floor. We won't have any of those dead zones. So just a reminder again, this was the existing conditions in front of the 122 unit asset today. It's been a nice convenience for the residents who have lived in this building, but we think that it's a dated design, and we think that it would be much better served to be completely reprogrammed. So this is the direction we're going in. So we're obviously doing the streetscape standards along the new building. There are above-grade transformers that service the existing 122-unit building. What we've worked hard to do is to not muddy up the sidewalk with vaults. We're proposing that we locate two additional above-grade
upgrade transformers to service the new development and screen that heavily with landscaping, which is sort of what it looks like today. So what that does is quickly cleans up the sidewalk experience all along Edgemoor Lane, and we think that we have the ability to add greenery around some of the transformers by doing that, and then have the green space continue. And some of the precedent images help you sort of understand the direction that we're going in. And Parker Rodriguez is our landscape designer. We think that letting some of this green space bleed into some of the hardscape treatment in these areas will be a dramatic improvement from what we have today. And the total square footage of this space is probably just over 4,000 feet, all said and done. And so we think that this will service as a place where people can get off of the bike lanes that in theory would be on Woodmont and likely on Edgemoor Lane and spend time either docking or getting a new bike if they're on their own personal bike coming to or from the Capitol Crescent Trail. This is a place where they can stop. It'll be the bike repair station. Or it's just a place that people can come and enjoy that space on a Saturday or Sunday after the farmer's market, you know, over at the elementary school. Are there any questions on? And then the last piece for our takeaway is Aubrey's going to talk about.
Yeah, so Ben already talked a little bit about how the parking garage across the street that's owned by the county is not a terribly appealing view for future residents out of that beautiful glass space that we're creating. So we just wanted to include a couple of shots so you can see the existing conditions here. This is another picture showing what it looks like across the street. And we have had some initial conversations with the BUP. Sounds like they are in support of including some sort of off-site for us art installation in this space. It could really activate it and make it a lot more fun and appealing for everyone. And we also wanted to include for your viewing a handful of properties across the country that we have in our portfolio where we have included some either public or private art space to help activate some of those unappealing spaces. The Gia Apartments in downtown LA, you can see this is a surface-mounted art installation. It's LED lights, it's colorful. It really turns a space that doesn't have fenestration into something that's a little bit more appealing and exciting.
And just to be clear, we're not requesting points for any of the art installation. This is just a comment that we came away with, and we wanted to show that we're continuing to work through what that possible installation may look like. But this, for us, is just bettering the neighborhood and bettering the community rather than forcing some sort of on-site art installation. We didn't think that we had the physical space to do it, so we've removed the public benefit points, but we have every intention of going forward with some sort of improvement on that facade without requesting the associated points for it. So this is something we're continuing to work towards. With that, we're happy to answer any questions.
So one question, what is the height of the building?
150.
So you flagged something in your checklist on the design guidelines about the exception for buildings under 120 feet. I was a little confused by that.
Yeah, so here's alternative treatments.
Right.
Yeah, and this has been a discussion for us early on in the project about this whole base treatment and then tower. And so we've had a number of discussions with staff, and we've talked internally about this, that if you took the literal recommendations for the setback, because of the narrowness and tightness of the site, it's only 15,000 square feet, you would get to the top of the building, and it would be completely inefficient and, frankly, unbuildable if you had that true setback. You basically have a single voted corridor at best. So while we're 30 feet taller than what some of the alternative treatments would allow for or recommend, it was the direction that we've gone with, where we're trying to create interesting architectural articulations as opposed to this true base tower on top. It's difficult to do in 150 feet, and given how narrow the site gets on the north side, and that we're already holding it back from the Christopher condominiums, this was the direction that we went.
Okay, so I got That wasn't quite clear in the material we got what you guys were really up to.
What we were going for
And it was one of the real questions that I had is why aren't you meeting the setback requirements?
We didn't include it here. We have a couple of exhibits. This was one of the things we showed early, which is this is the apex floor plate, which has the area to do a base and a tower and a top. And this is our floor plate, or actually land area, relative to that overall plan. And so one of the things we showed in our November DAP presentation we probably could have included here was if you took the true setback, we showed what the floor plate would look like on the top floor. And you were getting just a handful of units in that space. And so the site's almost not buildable if you go with that true definition of base, tower, and top. So we focused more on some of the varying articulations and some of the other alternatives that are presented. Granted, for building 120 feet or lower, so we're taking some liberties with the extra 30 feet that we have to try to exercise some of those options. But it is the direction that we've gone in from day one with the design.
So the other comment I make is the base of the building. I'm glad you changed it from what we got 2 weeks ago to what we saw just recently. I think it's a big improvement. I think the corbelling didn't really work. I thought it was kind of an eyesore,
yep,
to be honest with you. Your comparative slide that you have of where you were,
mm-hmm,
and where you are now, you showed earlier in the presentation, I think is informative. To me, it shows greater discipline, but I tell you, I do miss that kind of canopy roof on the top of the option on the left. It tends to signal to the public that there's a rooftop element up there, that there's something you want to be. I think it was a good feature. I mean, it suggested activity to me, and it gave the building a sense of it really having a top.
I agree. Well, I mean, I think the main issue for us on the building on the left, even though we designed it, there's like four different movements, four different styles.
I agree.
You got, you know, left side, right side, you got metal top, you know, just like every trick in the book. So we were trying to simplify it, do a more modest, modern building. I think, you know, the comments were right. I think we really worked on the base of the building, how the building connects to the street and so forth. But the way the building's geometry and so forth, what we're trying to do, I think building has a reading with all these. We are trying to recess every other floor with these balking treatments. I think we feel that that's going to be a really big move when you see the building. To me, I mean, the roof becomes, you know, somewhat secondary, you know. Because, you know, at the end of the day, this building is going to get dwarfed by all the buildings going around Bethesda. Apex buildings being, you know, one block away, you know, 300 so many feet, all these buildings are going to be looking down on this building.
Also, from an architectural urban point of view, we are wondering if, since all the buildings are going to have some sort of roof amenities, if there is a signal for all the buildings, if that doesn't become a cliche in a way, and goes against the spirit of a guideline, which was to prevent cliches or repetitions. I think that the building has enough uniqueness as they are, and probably having another element will be just another element, maybe a distraction perhaps, but not necessarily adding to what is the core essence of this project.
Well, again, I agree that I think you show a lot more discipline in the design, but it still feels a bit naked at the top. Mm-hmm. That it does, it's not necessarily, to me,
go back slide to you.
It suggests if the canopy on the top really suggests that there's a rooftop activity. It's not necessarily creating an architectural feature, but suggesting really program that really goes up there.
I'll go back to the slide that we have checker pattern with the precedence on it.
Wait, this one?
At the very end.
With the very end. No, go back. Yeah, that one. I mean, you know, there's a lot of buildings that do movement without really kind of trying to put a canopy at the top. I mean, the building on Silver Spring, it's quite, you know, attractive right around the corner. It has a very unique geometry and so forth, and it makes a gesture and stops there. I mean, it doesn't have to have a roof, okay? And somewhere on the line, we are going to come back and look at it 20 years from now. We're going to say, well, soup de jour, like the older buildings in 1918 or 1917, older buildings have canopies, okay? So somewhere on the line, I think, not every building has to have a rooftop deck. I mean, I think we are trying to do something that basically have this unique geometry to make the gesture without added element. I mean, we can always add that, but I don't think it's going to add any quality to the building.
I think, in my mind. When we wrote the guidelines for the tops, there was a lot in that guideline that suggested that unique tops help the skyline. Clearly, this isn't going to be a building that's going to help the skyline because, as you said, the buildings that are being built, particularly to the east of here, are going to be much taller. So you would never see it in a silhouette from far away. However, I think that you're right about the idea of at least explaining or showing that something is going on at the top. One is a good idea, but two, I'm not buying yet, or I don't fully understand how that corner, that southeast corner, is unique from the northeast corner or the southwest corner. They're all the same. They're almost all exactly the same. And so there, same. Go around the other corner, same. And so, you know, it does have the ability of heightening the corner that you guys are trying to say is the most unique corner.
This one here.
Yeah. And so, you know, something, if it's not the flying wedge like you do see on a lot of buildings lately, if it's not that, then maybe it's something else. Mm-hmm. But something that, you know, maybe heightens just that whole corner so it looks taller, or it looks, you know, there's something there that basically kind of explains that that's one, it's a special corner, but two, that something's going on up there.
Sure.
Up on the top.
No, and I think it's a reasonable comment. I mean, we did have some scenarios where that box on the southeast corner was extended slightly, so sort of define that. I don't know if it was necessarily tied to the rooftop amenity, so to speak, mm-hmm. like our original precedent mm-hmm. image. But we're not averse to continuing to look at that. I think the comments we got back in November were all very appropriate with defining the base more. I think we've ended up with a better building at the end of the day. So we're happy to sit down as a team and see if we can come up with something that, at a minimum, defines the corner a little bit more. Maybe it's some height, but we should look.
Well, I think we have, honestly, studied so many different schemes internally to resolve this thing. And I think our approach has been, like, basically, is there a building that kind of starts from one end and the other end? It's a simple building. It doesn't have to have all these elements, you know. Much like Shalom's building in Silver Spring, it has a geometry. It just follows that geometry and has a base, and that's it, you know. It doesn't have to have, you know, top to it. I mean, he's the same building in, you know, Tyson's Corner. Same thing. It's just a wallpaper and a base. Right.
Well, I understand, but I guess I disagree.
Can I give my layman's opinion?
There's two different kind of resolving architecture. We have done a lot of buildings does that, you know, trying to do something that basically a little more pure.
I do agree, Paul, that the corner just not pronounced enough. What if we just have the horizontal edge compartments or the masonry set back, have the glass be more pronounced so the corner will be more visible? Like have a more gesture, because right now they do look very identical at different angles. We want to try to address the corner.
Yeah, so some of the challenge we had was the original comment about creating sort of efficiency and quieting the building down, and at the same time trying to enhance what these corners feel like. And part of what we tried to do here was anchoring the building with some of the base treatment, turning the metal panel down. I think most of the focus seems to be at the top. So I don't know if we'll solve it here today necessarily, but maybe there's a tweak or two that we can do on the corner. Is it mostly the southeast corner, this most visible piece that feels like
it? Well, I haven't said anything, but I mean, I actually like the idea that the three corners are now talking to each other, that it's a consistent, as you had Sami mentioned, design from one side to the other. The north corner is far superior to where it was last time, and I think that's where traffic is going. That's a very strong, that
right, coming south
to south view has worked out very well to me. I think that the base height is about where it should be. I think it's working well. I think the entry, it does have a canopy of some sort.
Yep,
it does.
Yeah, so that's good. I would be remiss if I didn't say that I'm delighted it doesn't have a flying wedge on the roof like every other building that we did.
Well, me did too.
And everybody else. My opinion so far is that the building is not a big building. It's relatively good size. I think the consistency throughout has really worked well. I'm glad that our comments sort of led you in that direction last time. I am sympathetic with the idea that the southeast quarter might somehow be just a little bit stronger. And I have a crazy idea, but you talked about the break here, which is between the two grids. And it just occurred to me that it's possible that you could perhaps extend this up with some sort of small gesture at the top that might make a difference. But I will also follow that by saying that most of your views that we looked at today were from eye level and from the street level, and the narrow street that it is, the experience of that top is never really experienced, and even from any distance, because other than pedestrians coming from far south on Woodmont coming north, it's not as important as if it were on a bigger two-way street.
Yeah, and one of the considerations we had too is that, you know, we're on a curved road.
Yep.
See it better in aerials. So, you know, really the perspective we're showing is sort of from here is probably one of the few spaces that you'll get that clean shot of that corner. As you come south on Woodmont, you sort of pick up different elements as you continue to travel.
That's one thing the building does now, because it's a concave curve, and as you're coming down Woodmont Avenue, I think it's really embracing that very well, the simplicity of the north corner, as I said before. I think it's working strong enough and working very well. My only comment, honestly, would be that if there was a way to subtly enhance the top of that southeast corner without doing might satisfy some of the concerns, and there's no question you will be able to see it from some places on it.
Sure.
Another. But that's a relatively minor thing. And I buy what Tommy's saying. Every building does not have to have a top. But you do have something happening up there anyway.
It does. You can do something fantastic at the rooftop that you can only be seen by the taller buildings. And at the end of the day, this is a social building, fits in the block. Makes an urban texture. It doesn't have to have the like big heroic elements like Apex building. Apex building is going to be 3 times taller than this building. I mean, it's just, you know, block and a half from.
It's getting bigger.
It's like 220 feet.
It's double, right?
90.
Yeah, it's twice.
290.
No, it's not. Yeah. 290 is the
Apex
3 yeah. something.
My attitude would be is that if there's something that makes sense, I do buy it as a contributing building, an infill building, not a big building. I think the depth and shadow lines you're creating on the facade as it steps back and forth are going to be very effective, much more effective than the rendering is showing. And all of that says that, from my opinion, very far in the right direction. We appreciate that feedback.
Also, I want to make one more comment. Really appreciate how you enhance space one.
get to the 1.5 inches of treatment on site. I think we're slightly shy of that right now, but there's a bioretention on the north side of the new building. And there's also, these two are actually bioretentions. So between the two bioretentions, the third on the existing, just the general green cover and intensive green roof that we have, both on the new building, might be going the wrong way. So we're doing as much green cover as we can, knowing that there's mechanical space, there's penthouse that needs to be programmed. But we're also retrofitting the existing roof to try to maximize green cover. And there's some stormwater management considerations for that as well. So bioretention. And we're adding about 2,000 feet of green roof on the existing building that we're coming back to retrofit.
I have two comments about that new plaza that you're doing. One is, this building will be completed when? 22.
Yeah.
I question whether we're going to have shared bike stands anymore by then.
Very fair.
And so I would start at least questioning that and designing it to accommodate what is likely going to be then. So that's one issue.
We totally agree.
The second issue is I have all the confidence in the world that Parker Rodriguez is going to do a fine job with this. However, I don't get it at all right now, this plaza. It looks like you plopped down some trees and that's it. Is there a partie to the design of that plaza? Because I don't see it at all. And so I think that needs some clarity. If it's going to be the space that the bikers are going to use, that people are going to come to, then it needs to have some sort of a hierarchy to it. You know, what is the, or is there a pathway that gets you into the older building? Are the trees sort of just randomly located for a reason? I just don't get it. Maybe I'm just too much of a formalist.
Sure.
But I'm not getting it right now.
I won't do a complete justice versus Parker, but the idea was that this is the entrance to the existing building. We wanted this to feel like public space, not an entrance to the existing building. So we have to maintain some fire access here, which is why you see this larger hardscaped area. But the idea of this blending of hardscape and landscape was that it would feel like an extension of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So that you could comfortably feel like this is a space that doesn't belong to the apartment building, but this is truly a public space. And I mean, the trees were intentional. They were meant to provide some shade for some of the various seating areas that are in there. But we can continue to
I just think it needs to have some sort of a formal, something formal about the composition, because right now it just looks very random.
Okay.
And maybe it's because the erosion of the pavers around the trees is sort of random.
Yep.
And the placement of the trees. I mean, look at that one right there on the upper left.
Upper left.
Yeah,
clearly there's a space. Clearly there's a space that people would hang out in.
Okay.
You know, and if that was exposed to the street and to the sidewalk in a similar fashion that is right there, I think it would be used all the time. But when it becomes so random,
a little more organized.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Programmed. Okay. I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think what you're not seeing is some of the subtle changes that they've made that go to exactly what you are kind of picking up on. One is, the brick pavement pattern that was kind of merged into the site and not separate, not a different pattern treatment. The banding that was removed, so it didn't have this clear kind of disruption of public versus what might be perceived as private. So I think the details are there. They're just not as evident, I think, in what's being shown here. And we've had some similar discussions about, what brings you into the site other than just a bike share? And how does that kind of operate in a more public fashion?
And it
brings you there and keeps you there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's fine. I'm not suggesting that if the sidewalk is like red pavers, that you'd have white pavers, like that one photo was showing. But, it could be something, the seating that draws you in and then the trees that give you shade, that's all great.
Yep.
So just if there was something like just a space.
Yeah, no, understood. And maybe...
You don't have a plan... drawing either, so that's kind of tough,
yeah,
to, tough to see it in the rendering.
And this is from their model, so they just
if you go to the plan of the beginning.
But I appreciate your confidence in training to get this right, and we have the same confidence, but we'll take those comments back to make sure that space doesn't feel random and that it doesn't invite people in.
The big issue, though, that I have, and I agree with all the comments about the composition, seems to be much clearer and simplified, and I think it's better. I also think the new base is much better than before. And I don't know how you guys solve the problem, but I think it is a problem. Woodmont from Old Georgetown all the way to Montgomery. I'm trying to think of if there's a door that actually is used that faces onto that street. And I don't think there is. And I think it's a real problem. It's why Woodmont in that 2 or 3 block area is just absolutely dead to pedestrians.
Yep.
And I don't see how this is helping it. I really don't, because there's nothing that is bringing people in and out of your building to help activate that street. And even though there is glass there, and even though there's going to be all these public amenities, you know, public to the building, amenities behind, so private amenities behind.
Yep.
Go back to site plan.
I'm just not sure how this is helping, and having the entrance around the corner is not helping either.
And I think, Paul, I realize that I drive every day there, and I think the challenge is, you know, it's been screwed up last 30 years or 40 years, okay? And I don't know how you fix it. I really don't know.
Because, well, if every building
go back to
entrances on Woodmont, it would fix it. It would help.
I know, but I mean, it's not going to happen. Christopher basically sits on a retaining wall, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is dead. This is retaining wall.
You can see it.
This is all dead.
Yep.
Right?
And then the next building down is dead. There's an entrance there, but it's locked.
It's just a slope and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a house in play. I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, this building.
You got the restaurant.
They got a restaurant there.
But
that helps.
It never works.
But even the entrance to the building is not right.
The building doesn't have a base.
Right.
It comes in, crashes back, and then there's a door for the restaurant.
Right.
Nobody really sees it.
Part of the problem the restaurant doesn't work is there's no street foot traffic on there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's no recognition of the building or restaurant from outside either. So, I mean, what we're trying to do is, you know, put a glass into the facade. I think it's going to activate because it's going to be all the public spaces.
Okay. And getting rid of that, obviously. I mean, the game of...
I mean, sidewalk gets bigger.
I mean, in effect, it's basically kind of an alley.
It's a speed alley, actually. Speed alley.
Exactly.
Like, you know, everybody, including me, like, we go, like, you know, 40 miles an hour.
You try to get there,
zooming through
the corner.
Changing that street to two-way and having a bike lane, if it goes in that direction from a traffic perspective, may certainly help.
Is that part of the master plan to change that to two-way?
Yes.
Is it? Oh, cool. I didn't know.
I think that will slow things down, and obviously the water sidewalk will help. And
yeah.
I mean, activating, I guess, the building across street, putting some sort of lighting design or something like that.
Yeah.
Right now it's all blank. I'm doing some sort of art that will really make that street a lot more nicer.
Yep.
As I mentioned the last time, the original idea that we had an artist and had a series of vertical components on the wall that actually read different ways depending on which way you were going on Woodmont Avenue. And so it was kind of kinetic without moving.
I mean, I think it needs to be lighted, too, because at nighttime it's dead, too. I'm like, you know, whatever the art you're doing has to have some sort of light texture to it, so it kind of, like, activates the street. You know?
I think the best thing that may happen for the street is that we're the ones sitting at this table, right? That we fortunately own the building next door, because if this came in as an independent, you may have had the same bank that's up on the corner of Old Georgetown, because it's a very, very small site, and the garage already... even by connecting it underground, is extremely inefficient. And so our ability not to have a curb cut and a loading dock, I mean, I think...
Well, like
huge,
one thing, for instance, you know, this Earl Baranis building does in Silver Spring is you got the units on the base that enter and exit onto the street.
Yep.
And I think that helps. And clearly, you know, there are visions of that in what I see here.
Right.
You know, it's sort of that darker... masonry base.
Yeah.
And but I think, I mean, you're you know, I think the question of where the floor is kind of precludes you from doing that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is unfortunately the lesser two evils of what could have happened on this facade. We think it'll be a dramatic improvement. If the site was bigger, I think we could have done something slightly more creative with the base. And we looked at programming some units on the ground floor. We looked at some, you know.
What happens on the third floor there in the in that band?
Units.
Here?
Those are just units.
These are
units,
yeah.
I have one cautionary comment. I asked what the material of that base was, and it's not a natural stone, which is okay, but it's going to be extremely important what that module is.
To soften the space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this to me is remarkable right now. I don't know. I don't have any. I'm not the designer. All I'm saying is. That's what everybody's going to feel and see, and I think that the fineness because of that detail is going to be critical in how building it.
Yeah, natural stone would be wonderful.
Yep.
So, that's just a caution.
I think it's a good comment.
We want to be better if we didn't rush.
We totally agree.
By the way,
totally.
You guys inherited that building.
You guys did. It's not your fault. Don't blame me.
It was SVM design, right? SVM design. You guys, they went bankrupt, and you guys picked it up.
Well, they designed from the bottom seventh level up to about 25 feet above grade. Yeah.
Anything else we can help clarify? Or
yeah, just one final comment for future projects, not to this project. And I think this is something we've been asking now most of the applicants. Come in with a zoning diagram to show us why you can't meet the guidelines. Now, convince us as to why you couldn't do the setback. Yeah, we understand it. We understand it's a restricted site. But I think it would really help everybody to understand what the issues really are.
Yeah, that's a good comment. I think we had it in November, whatever the reason wasn't included this go around. But I think putting that on paper and showing people.
And then the other thing that I would...
Sure. Yeah.
I agree with the kind of the design comments about the park that you're creating and the existing parking lot, but I think you guys should congratulate turning a suburban situation into a more of a situation.
Thank you.
I'll have the results.
We
more
programs for sure. Yeah.
I mean, we are really working hard to make this work, given, like, we are first floor, stepping the building couple, stepping the garage and stepping the building to...
Yeah, we're going to have a great change in the lobby stairs because we're trying to push this south experience as low as possible.
Yeah.
We can't do it across the whole site, but we're doing it where we can do it so that that corner feels better. So we have tried to jump through as many hoops as we can, but
that's appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. We have about 7 minutes left. Do you want to take about 5 minutes of public comments before we do the vote and review the public input?
One minor question. What's the white material? What's your frame? What are those frames? Have you determined that yet?
Metal bound. Composite.
That's what it
was.
I mean, the whole building is metal panel and glass, basically. And some sort of masonry. Base. Hopefully stone, natural stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't interpret it as to whether that was metal panel or precast. I'm glad to hear it's metal panel.
What kind of cement is?
That's the Christmas.
Yeah, the AAMC building downtown in DC in
Auburn
Triangle is using some of that treatment. We probably should have labeled that.
Do you want to take public comments before you vote, or?
Sure.
Yep, okay. So, I know that you mentioned, if you could keep it brief, please.
Sure. Thank you. For letting me speak, and I really am impressed with the project. This is my route of travel daily in Bethesda. If you live in Bethesda, you've probably seen somebody on a bike with a dog on the back, that's me. And so I go down Woodmont Avenue to Bethesda Road daily. I am particularly concerned about how the public at large, my community members, have been treated to the sterile environment of Woodmont Avenue, and how this improves it. And I'm also concerned about the approach from Arlington Road by pedestrians and cyclists to the metro and back. So I think this is a great improvement over existing conditions, and it only happened with development. And development helps to heal urban design that has really gone a long ways toward deadening our metro station and our community experiences. I really appreciate the project. So I too echo the comments, maybe I taught you well, Paul, but your comments about Woodmont Avenue and having entrances there. But this design does greatly enhance what is there now. It would be even better with entrances, activity. And along Edgemoor, I'm concerned about the pedestrian experience when that park space is not activated. When particularly women, but any single person is walking to or from Metro at night past that park. So keep that in mind, what you can do about that. And also the comments that I must have told Paul at some point about this, about bikes, that bikes are changing. And in particular, electrically assisted bikes are becoming very widespread. These are expensive. I also see people on bikes that are of the Dutch design, that are carriages in front, three-wheel bikes that carry kids or groceries, odd-shaped things. And these need parking that is not only convenient and architecturally significant, welcoming, but also safe from vandalism. What I have heard about in several of these critiques has to do with your attempts at this. I think the planning department needs to organize an effort at this rather than do this project by project. Bike Station in Long Beach, California is a nonprofit that does bike station design nationwide. And what we need is a system, a planning approach that actually connects bike facilities throughout these projects. Thank you.
Okay, I'll do a brief high-level summary of the comments so far. The first that was discussed for a while is that the top treatment has been lost, the canopy has been lost, and that something to help define the southeast corner, whether it be a subtle top treatment or some other treatment on the corner, needs to be explored. Also, the plaza needs clarity. It shows some hierarchy in the plaza space because it seems to be random. And also, if possible, could you put an entry or entries on the facade facing Woodmont to make it more interactive for pedestrians? What could you do to really enhance that facade, particularly on the ground floor? Also, in the future, as folks come in, that we would like to see a zoning diagram showing exactly why the building is constrained and couldn't do the design guidelines. Are there any other high-level comments that you think I've missed? The panel? No? Okay. All right, so if we could then discuss the 20 public benefit points requested for exceptional design. Does the panel feel like this is an appropriate amount and you could recommend to the board that this is an appropriate amount?
So we have revised up the request.
Oh, okay.
We're asking for 83% of the available 60 points between architectural elevations and exceptional design. So it's a total of 50 of the 60 between the two categories.
With how much? So
25
in specific,
for each.
I'm
20,
sorry, 25?
25.
Okay.
Each. So 83%.
So 25 out of 30. What does the panel think on that?
one question first. Why aren't you counting putting the artwork on the garage across the street as part of your commitment?
We didn't know exactly which direction that was going to go in early in the process, whether it would be permitted. We could have done something on-site. We've done a number of sculptures on-site. Because of the small nature of the site, we didn't want to rely on those points. But, again, it may be something that, in hindsight, we should have gotten points for, but it's more important to us, frankly, just to make sure it gets done. And there's still some uncertainty as to timing of that. And
Can a sculpture be in the plaza? Since it's like a program, so.
Yeah, possibly. The John Clement sculptures that we've done.
Has more space there, too.
Yeah,
and you control it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the control.
So trap more people.
The stuff that John has done for us, this is in New York. This is a private space, but this is public. This is in San Francisco. We could certainly do something in that plaza.
There could be something that's maybe not necessarily public. It could be artwork.
Mm-hmm.
It could be artistic. It doesn't necessarily have to be public art,
right.
But that's something that that could be, I guess, discussed as part of we are a site plan.
You're a site plan.
So we're already pretty far along, and
yeah.
I think if we took something to the art panel, it would be an afterthought, and that might be how that would be viewed. But then again, it's something that could definitely enliven the space.
Yeah, I mean, most of the pieces that we've programmed are usually under construction. When we're under construction, we get a better feel for the space, we better get a better feel for the materials around it, and then we change colors or design. So it's very hard for us to come up with a concept and commit to that for site plan submission. And so it's something that we'll continue to work on, but we may not get the benefit of the points at the end of the day, whether it's in the plaza or across the street or possibly both.
I should say, I'd rather not diminish across the street.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that visually that will happen. And we're thinking of trying to wrap the corner so that you can see it as you exit the metro to the west. You catch a piece of that wall there. So we think that that's an important area to try to improve.
From a public benefit standpoint, that is.
Right.
More bang for your buck, if you
will. Our incentives are definitely aligned there.
Well, the question of the art, though, I think is not... I think it's a great idea for art, but I mean, is your question based on 25 points that maybe that sets a precedent?
So I guess the question is, well, let me back up. So why did you increase from 10 to 20 points, the request?
20 to 25.
Oh, because this says 20 right here, right?
Right. Well, there's two different categories, the elevations and then the design. So originally we were 20 for each, and then we've increased to 25. And I think that came about as a result of the modifications we made to the building after the first round at the DAP, and then also the incorporation of the public space, which was a significant change.
We thought we made some dramatic moves from what you saw in November, both for the building itself, but one of the major comments was surrounding, you know, public realm. Public space has been significant, and we thought supported an additional 5 points.
So let's be clear, you're asking for 25 exceptional design points, is that what you're
asking? Yes.
Correct.
Even though it says 20 here,
that's
your application.
That's correct.
This is a side point, but I mean, go back to site plan. I mean, one thing we can do, one thing we can do on Woodmont that will help greatly, maybe we can relocate the line retention. We have a staircase that coming down the street, create a public open space for our building to activate that part of the building, the streetscape.
Yeah, we have to maintain fire access there.
I know,
so
but
it
I'm
just
like
needs to be coordinated with
we need
stairs.
To relocate the bio retention maybe more into the park. I'm not moving the staircase. I'm just making big terrace, chairs and fireplace or whatever. People hanging out there, like, helps the streetscape.
So, Chowjoy, you asked if there was anything else that received 25. We do know that 7359, we believe, received 30. So that's something to compare to.
Does this make sense?
make a difference in your achieving the required points on the other?
Every point is meaningful in trying to get to the 100. Is that your question?
Well, I didn't know whether you do you achieve it at 20.
It depends what the other category. I mean, we're still going through waste reduction and recycling as an example. There's 10 points. We're working with a number of folks in that department now to work through that plan. So I don't have all the answers yet, George. So I'm not sure. But where we sit today, there is some small premium over the 100 that we're overall requesting, and a portion of that comes from the 50 that we're requesting here today. But if everybody takes that perspective, I don't know where we'll
end up. Our conundrum is that 25 is higher than we've actually done at this point.
Yes.
And I think everybody's saying, while we like very much where it's going, has it risen above?
Yep.
I'm not quite there personally.
Okay. Is it on the elevation side? I mean, there's been mostly comments around the corner treatment, or is it the exceptional design piece to me, at least in my mind, was sort of the holistic approach, right? With leveraging existing infrastructure, with keeping curb cuts off Wood Marsh, with doing the transformers above grades, with doing the single code modification to allow us to do this sort of comprehensive, quote-unquote, redesign with the public space and everything else that we've done, which is part of the reason that we collectively thought 25 of the 30, at least in that core category, felt like it could be justified, because it's more than just building that we're sort of requesting those points for.
Can I just add that the 10 points that are the minimum, everywhere else in the county is the gold standard. And so going from 10 to 30 is intended to reward, you know, a platinum building. And so if 10 is the gold standard everywhere else, then, you know, is this 5 points away from the best building in the county? I mean, just to sort of put it in perspective, I'm sort of, I think, with George in that I think this is closer. I mean, to me, this isn't 5 points away from the best building in the county, but I think, you know, 10 is really an exceptional building in Silver Spring, in Friendship Heights, everywhere else you have a CR building.
And I think when Ben started off by saying it's the total points is 83% of 100,
and
we were sort of
looking
at
we should. This is only about the exceptional design points, not the elevations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how many points you're requesting of the minimum 10, maximum 30 for
just
exceptional design.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
actually with George. I'm just kind of on the fence. Is this really an exceptional building at that level?
Right.
I think the thing, quite frankly, that I find great is this conversion as parking lot to a public space. And also, I also agree that it needs refinement, but I'm not sure that you'll get to 25 points, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
And you agree as well, Paul? Okay, so it sounds like the recommendation is closer to 20 based on the current site plan. And then the last issue would be a vote on whether you support with conditions or do not support this project as a panel. So I could begin with support, and all those in favor of supporting the project, please. One, George. Two, three. And then who would be a support with conditions, and what would be those conditions?
Support with conditions is a refinement of the park-like space on Edgemoor. At least take a look at the development of the corner on the southeast, the development of the southeast corner.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they have to respond to our
recommendation.
Comments.
Okay, so two conditions are responding to the comments that I already summarized, and two are support. Okay?
Just to be clear, when you say, because I think the discussion about Woodmont clearly recognized the challenges associated with that. So when you say respond to the comments, is it primarily the southeast corner?
It was the southeast corner. It's the plaza. It was trying to find a way to relate to the pedestrian at the ground level and making sure the materiality and everything relates to the pedestrian, if possible, making an entry. And those were the major issues. So.
Maybe comments are over.
No, please.
Have you considered Woodmont Avenue entrance as well as your
both at that, the challenges of some of that grade change that we talked about, where the slab is a 4 foot.
Oh, it's here too? I figured by now you were all the way down.
Yeah, the south side is generally the same elevation. It's sort of just slightly below the building where it changes.
It just seems to me that, you know, coming down here and seeing some sort of, even if it's a secondary and a seating area at the corner or something, might be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is a control issue, perhaps, but it just seems to be reaching out to teeny-weeny mind here.
Sure. No, we appreciate the comment.
All right. Great. Well, thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.